out of all the devotees today, So we welcome all devotees today for the auspicious occasion of welcoming their lordships and installing them into our hearts, because that is the purpose of this ceremony. In a short while, I think, we will be able to take darshan, first darshan of their lordships. And before that, it's very nice and proper if we try to understand something about what deity worship means from this perspective of Bhagavatam, and why deities are considered so important in our devotional life. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihara.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki
Jai.
जय श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा की जय, जय श्री श्री गोविंदाय की जय, श्री राम प्रभुपाद की जय, पिताय को प्रेम नंदी ओ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
in the 6th canto, 16th chapter, verse number 32. If you have time, 31, sorry. If you have time, you should read it. 6:16:31. It is the verse that teaches us very quickly and very immediately what happens when we worship the deity in the form of Krishna. I'm going to chant the verse. If you can, please chant it with me. And then I'll read the transliteration. Translation. And a very short purport.
Tadarshana Dvasta samasta kilbishiha Tadarshana Dvasta samasta kilbishiha Swasta malanta Karano bhyayan munihi Pravritta Bhaktya Pranaya Shulochana Pravishta Roma Namanadi Purusham Tadarshana Dvastra Samasta Kilvishaha Swasta Manartha Karano Bhyaya Pravritta Bhaktya Pranayashu Lochanaha Pravishta Roma Nama Adi Purusham Tadarshana Dvasta Samasta Kilbishaha Swasta Mananta Karano Bhyayanunihi Pravritta Bhaktya Pranayashu Lochanaha Pravishta Roma Namanadi Purusham
Tadarshana
By the sight
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
Dvasta
Destroyed.
Samasta kilbishaha.
Having all sins.
Swasta.
Healthy.
Amala.
And pure.
Antakaranaha.
The core of whose heart.
Abhyayat.
Approached face to face.
Munihi.
The king.
Who was silent.
Due to.
Full mental satisfaction.
Pravritta Bhaktya
with an attitude
of increased devotional service.
Pranaya Ashru Lochanaha
with tears in his eyes
because of love.
Pravrishta Roma,
his hairs
standing on end
due to jubilation.
Anamat
offered respectful obeisances.
Adi Purusham
unto the expansion
of the original personality. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu
saw the Supreme Lord,
he was cleansed
of
all material contamination and situated
in
his original Krishna consciousness,
being completely purified.
He became silent and grave, and because of love for the Lord,
tears fell from his eyes,
and his hairs
stood on end.
With great devotion and love,
he offered
his respectful obeisances
unto the personality of Godhead.
Please hear the purport. The word tat darshana dvasta samasta kilbishaha is very important in this verse. If one regularly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple, one will gradually be disinfected of all material desires simply by visiting the temple and seeing the deity. When one is freed from all the results of sinful activities, one will be purified. And with a healthy mind completely cleansed, he will increasingly make progress in Krishna consciousness. Let's repeat one very important line in this purport.
If one
regularly sees
the Supreme
Personality
of Godhead
in the temple,
one will gradually
be disinfected
of all material desires
simply by visiting the temple
and seeing the deity.
Jai Shri Prabhupada, transcendental purport ki.
Om
Ajnana Timirandasya
Jnanam
Jalashalakaya
Chakshur Militam
Yena
Tasmai
Shri Rupe Namaha
Sri Chaitanya
Mano Bhishtam
Stapitam
Yena Bhukale
Swayam Rupa
Kadamaya
Tadati
Swapadantikam
Vandeham
Sri Guru
Sri Uttapada
Kamalam
Sri Guru
Vaishnavamscha
Sri Rupam
Sahajatam
Sahagana
Raghunatham
Vitantam
Sajivam
Sadvaitam
Savadutam
Parichana
Sahitam
Krishna Chaitanya
Devam
Sri
Radha Krishna
Padam
Sahagana
Lalita Sri
Vishakharvitam
Scha
He
Krishna
Karuna
Sindhu
Dina Bandho
Jagatpate
Gopesha
Gopika Kanta
Radha
Kanta
Namostute
Tapta
Kanchana
Gorange
Radhe
Vrindavanishwari
Vrishabhanu
Sute
Devi
Pranamami
Hari
Priye
Namo
Mahavadanyaya
Krishna
Prema
Pradayate
Krishnaya
Krishna Chaitanya
Namunika
Prakashe
Namaha
Vancha
Gurpatalu
Vyascha
Kripaha
Sindhu
Vya
Evacha
Patitanam
Pavanebhyo
Vaishnavebhyo
Namo
Namaha
Jai
Sri Krishna
Chaitanya
Prabho
Nityananda
Sri
Advaita
Gadadhara
Sri
Vasadi
Gaura
Bhaktavinda
Hare
Krishna
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 Hare Hare
Hare
Rama
Hare
Rama
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 Hare
Hare. 6:16:31.
This verse is very appropriate for today's program, because we are taking darshan of the deities in just a while. We will also know the names of the deities in just a while. And here, Chitraketu Maharaj has been offering prayers, heartfelt prayers, from his heart. And this was because of the fact that he was given another chance to remember Krishna after his one and only child left this world. He was situated in great grief until he got the association of Narada Muni and Angira Rishi. And when they came to console him, They gave him the signs of devotional service. Narada Muni made the child wake up from the dream. And when Narada Muni asked the child the very famous question, "Look here, my son. Look at your father. And he's here before you." And the child said something very wonderful. And the child said, "My dear Narada, which father are you talking about? And in which life are you talking about?" And that smashed whatever thoughts Chitraketu Maharaj had, thinking that that child belonged to him. When we understand that nothing in this world belongs to us, that is the starting step of our devotional service. It's only when we begin to realize that whatever we have cannot last, because by nature we cannot last, then devotional service begins. The beauty of understanding that everything is temporary, including our body, is that whatever miseries we have in this world also become temporary. Sometimes people come and tell us, "Oh, I've been miserable for my whole life." And we tell them, "The good news I have for you is that you're going to die. So when you die, your miseries also die. How can you die and the miseries be permanent?" It's not possible. So Chitraketu Maharaj understood that the nature of this world without Krishna is that it is definitely temporary. But the nature of this world with Krishna is not material anymore. And that is why, after being touched by the association, the great Sadhu Sangha of Narada Muni, then Chitraketu Maharaj was given instructions by Narada to worship the Lord in his beautiful form of Lord Sankarshan. And after heartfelt prayers and great amount of meditation, finally Chitraketu Maharaj took darshan of the Lord. And this is where we are at the verse. Because in this verse now we understand that as soon as Chitraketu Maharaj saw the Supreme Lord, this is very important. Because while Chitraketu Maharaj took darshan of Krishna, we take darshan of Krishna every time we come to the temple. Sometimes people think, "No, Chitraketu Maharaj saw Krishna as in Krishna, Krishna." But we are seeing Krishna as in the Murti of Krishna. But Prabhupada corrects that mistake in the purport. Because Prabhupada says that the form of Krishna in this Archa Vigraha that we have seen, and the form of the Lord that appeared before Chitraketu Maharaj, is not different. This is a very important point for us to realize. And Prabhupada uses a beautiful verse, a word in the purport, that the moment we take darshan of the deities in a temple, whatever material desires we have in our heart, they become disinfected. It's like getting a disease, which is material by nature. And the best cure is not the doctors. If you go to doctors, doctors don't cure you actually, they give you more problems. Dukkhaushadam tanapi dukkham atadhyayam. Prahlad Maharaj, Narasingadev's appearance is coming. Very important point Prahlad Maharaj makes. He says that the solution in this material world, which are material, are very often greater and worse than the problems themselves. So this we should understand. That's why it is very important for us to realize that the moment we see Krishna, three things will happen to us. And that is something we should take away today after taking darshan of the deities. The first thing that will leave us, Bhagavatam tells us, is that we will become cleansed of all material contamination. When Chitraketu Maharaj saw Krishna, immediately his heart became disinfected of material desires. So that's the first thing. The moment we take darshan, whether or not we are in a devotional mood or not, darshan is darshan. The devotional mood enhances the disinfection, but it doesn't mean there is no disinfection even if we are not. That's how many of us started our process of devotional service. We did not understand the greatness of prasadam, but prasadam worked anyway. We did not understand the greatness of the deities, but the darshan of the deities changed our hearts. So therefore it is stated, the nature of fire is such that we don't have to understand its nature to become burnt, isn't it? We just need to touch fire and we become burnt. And that is the greatness of the deities. So Chitraketu Maharaj episode teaches us the first thing, that the moment we take darshan, we become cleansed of material contamination. Second effect of seeing the deities, Bhagavatam tells us, the moment we take darshan, we become situated in our original Krishna consciousness. Not in any other false consciousness, but in original Krishna consciousness, automatically. And the third beautiful effect that Chitrakirti Maharaj felt was that whatever that we were, we become completely purified. These are the three effects of deity worship. This is the greatness of the deity. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada says that the first point that comes when we see the deities is that this desire for material enjoyment leaves us. Sometimes people ask, what does it mean to be materially contaminated? Material contamination simply means that we desire to do something separate from Krishna's desire. It's very straightforward. If Krishna has a desire and our desire is separate from Krishna, that separation of desires, Bhagavatam tells us, will cause us disturbance in the heart. So it's a very simple test you can administer to yourselves as devotees. Every time we are disturbed, Bhagavatam says there is no other reason for the disturbance. Please don't blame the people who are disturbing you. They are only instruments in the hand of Krishna. The real reason for the cause of our disturbance, Bhagavatam says, is because somewhere in our hearts, our interest is not aligned with the interest of the Lord. First canto, 5th chapter, 14th verse. Tato anyata kinchana yad vivekshataha pritat drishashtat krita rupa namabihi labetavata no nakarhichi kwapicha dushtita matihi labetavata natanahu ivaspadam. 1.5.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni was advising Vyas Bhagwan because Vyasadeva was disturbed. Imagine, how can Vyasadeva be disturbed? If Vyasadeva is disturbed, what chance do we have in this world? We have no chance. Vyasadeva compiled the Puranas, he compiled the Vedas, Itihasas, everything, and which they are all spiritual in nature. But after all that, he was disturbed. What have we compiled? Only our life story, isn't it? And there is nothing spiritual about our life story. So how much more disturbed we should be? But Vyas Bhagwan was told by Narada Muni that Narada, that he said, Vyas Bhagwan, you are very disturbed. You have done everything, but you have missed out one thing. And that thing is the most important thing. You have failed to align your interest with the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tato anyata. If one's interest or if one's vision, the exact word that's used in Bhagavatam is the word vision. If the vision of the Lord and the vision of the living entity are different, then that vision of ours will react in different names, forms and results to produce dushtita matihi. Dushtita matihi means agitation. So every time we become agitated, don't blame the surroundings. Don't blame all the distractions outside. Don't blame whatever that's going on behind the curtains. Don't blame anything. Just we have to blame ourselves. Because somewhere along the line, our desire is separate from Krishna's desire. If we put Krishna first, and then we align ourselves to Him, if we say what pleases Krishna is what I will do, then our devotional service becomes very simple. So if we can't do that, but we take darshan of Krishna, Krishna automatically removes the material contamination of separate desire in the heart. And He realigns us so that we become originally situated in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, 6 different symptoms of material contamination are given. And you can check against this in our own hearts. The moment we have any of these 6 or all 6, we know how much material contamination there is in the heart. The first material contamination is kutinati. It means finding fault with others. The moment we have this critical tendency in our hearts, we see someone and we start judging them. Sometimes we come to temple and we forget the purpose of coming to temple is to glorify Krishna. But because we come to glorify ourselves, so we look around and the tendency is we make this temple into a social place. We see what somebody is wearing. We see what somebody is talking. We think, oh, this person said Hare Krishna to me last week, he didn't say Hare Krishna to me today. All that people are talking to each other, they never talk to me. I walk in and nobody greets me. Or I'm finding fault with the way this person sings, or that person stands, or this person talks. The mind is full of that. The moment we start finding fault, then our desire is separate from Krishna and we become duplicitous. The second material contamination is pratishtaha, desire for name and fame. The reason why we should be appearing to glorify Krishna in ISKCON Brampton, ISKCON Scarborough, anywhere in the world, is only one reason. We come to the temple to glorify the deity of the Lord. We come here to glorify Him. Nivritta tarshehi upagiyamana bhavau shudha chotra mano birama kauttama shloka gunanuvada puman virajeta visapasuna. This is the reason why we see the deities. We come to the temple not to glorify ourselves. We come here to glorify Krishna. The moment we come here to glorify Krishna and serve the devotees of Krishna, then whenever you are in the temple and seeing the deities, there is no material contamination in the heart. You will always be peaceful. Nothing will touch us. Otherwise, what happens is because we have these tendencies in the heart, we blame the external surroundings and then we don't come to the temple. We are losing, not the deity. So this point is very important. Fault finding and desire for name and fame. Sometimes we want to take credit for everything. Or if we do something nice, we want everyone to praise us. If nobody praises us in the temple, that's it. Next week I'm not coming anymore. Haribol. But if somebody praises us, enough. That is my arati for today. And I will keep coming. If that is the mood, then our heart continues to be contaminated. That's why when we take darshan of the deities, there is nothing in the heart. We just see, oh, very nice, have prasadam, haribol. That is not darshan. Darshan means to seek audience. The third material contamination that's very dangerous is what we call jiva himsa. Jiva himsa means envy of the living entity. The beauty of this movement is that wherever we congregate, because Krishna is in the center, automatically when we take darshan of the deities, we don't become envious of each other. If this whole place was a wedding function, then it is very different. We'll all look at each other. Right now you're all looking at me. And I'm seeing for the past 15 minutes, nobody is looking at each other. If this was a wedding function, we can't stop looking at each other. We'll say, oh, this person is wearing this sari, that person is a walking jewelry shop, this person is wearing the funny looking clothes. You know, oh, that person came in a car, you know, that is new, he didn't come in that the last time. And then when we go back, you know, we speak about that only. We get hurt because somebody didn't speak to us. We get happy because somebody spoke to us. And in all that, there is material contamination. So, kutinati is fault finding, desire for name and fame, envy of the living entities. But if we take darshan of the deities, whatever envy that's in the heart, it automatically becomes cleansed. Then we have what we call karma. Karma means desire. Prabhupada writes in the purport of 6th canto, 16th chapter, 34th verse. He writes a beautiful poem. No living entity can be desireless, correct? We all have desires. But Prabhupada says, the desires that cannot be fulfilled are material in nature. Amazing point. Think about it. Every time you cannot fulfill a desire, you know therefore that desire is material. Sometimes we try to fulfill a desire. We may not show it, but we try it. And every time we try, we become frustrated. Why am I trying and I'm not fulfilling it? When we cannot fulfill a desire in this world, Bhagavatam tells us it's because the desire is not spiritual. It is material. Therefore, we should drop the desire. That is how we become cleansed by the deity. And the last two is the desire for popularity. You know, sometimes we want to become Miss Popular or Mr. Popular. We forget about the deities being popular. Doesn't matter. But as long as I am being popular, that's enough. And if you have a desire to be popular, then we will never have the desire to serve Krishna. We only have the desire to serve ourselves. And the last piece of material contamination is what we call doing things which are forbidden by Krishna in the scriptures. In other words, we should be very faithful to follow the instructions of the Lord. If we do that, then Bhagavatam says, this material contamination leaves the heart. And it comes automatically when we take darshan of the Lordships. The second effect that Chitraketu Maharaj felt in his heart is that because his heart was free free of material contamination, these six items were free from the heart, then he became situated in his original Krishna consciousness. Original Krishna consciousness means real ego, not false ego. False ego is to think that I am the one doing Abhishek, or I am the one who is doing this. I am the person doing the service. Without me, the whole yatra will collapse. That is false ego. Actually, without us, the yatra continues very nicely. Isn't it? Hundreds of people come and go, but Krishna has continued. And hundreds of people will go and come, and the Krishna will continue. So actually, we are nothing. If we are not here, Krishna can send someone to replace us. It is that mood that distinguishes an advanced devotee from a struggling devotee. A struggling devotee performs devotional service with a motive. And the motive is, I want some credit. It is I. But Chitraketu Maharaj, when he took darshan of Krishna, because of his love and devotion, the material contamination left the heart. And he understood his real position in front of Krishna. So it's very important, Prabhu's Matajis, for us to be very clear about the goal of our existence. The goal of our existence is to glorify Krishna and serve the devotees. There is no other goal. The moment we come to the temple and take darshan of the deities with that goal, automatically the deities reciprocate and we become fixed in our Krishna consciousness. The word is sthane sthitaha. We become fixed. And the moment the material contamination leaves, original Krishna consciousness is put in our hearts, and finally the third effect of this beautiful darshan of the deity comes. Chitraketu Maharaj became completely purified. Completely purified means that he had no other desire than the desire to serve Krishna. You all know Vritasur, isn't it? That great demon who was Chitraketu Maharaj in his previous life, and who will become, Chitraketu Maharaj becomes, he becomes Vritasur later. Vritasur has a beautiful prayer. Nanaka Prishtam Nachaparameshtam Nasarva Bhavam Narasadipatyam Na Yoga Siddhi Apunar Bhavamva Samanjasatva Virahaya Kanshe. He says, he prays to Krishna, you know, and this is in the middle of the battlefield with Indra. He says, Nanaka Prishtam, Krishna, I don't desire to have dominion over Dhruvaloka, which is a very exalted planet. I don't desire to rule over the nether planets. I don't desire to rule over the heavenly planets. I don't even desire to rule over this earthly planet. I don't have any desire for liberation. I don't have any desire to get the 8 different mystic yogic perfections. In fact, I have no desire except to serve the lotus feet of you, my Lord, and the lotus feet of the devotees. And that's why he addresses Krishna as Samanjas. Samanjas means source of all opportunities. The deities are the source of all opportunities for us as devotees. Because the deities are here, we have wonderful kirtan. You know, the ladies today, the gentlemen today, they sang amazing kirtan. And the kirtan is beautiful because we are taking darshan of the deities. The moment there is no darshan of the deities, the moment Krishna is not in the heart, then everything becomes nullified. So everything that we have is enhanced by Krishna. He gives us the opportunity to serve Him. We do not create opportunities. He gives us opportunities. When we accept that, we become humble before the deities. And humility always attracts Krishna. And that is how we become purified. This mercy of the Lord, Bhagavad Gita tells us, is very, very, very difficult to get. In Dwarka, Narada Muni saw Krishna one day. He came to take darshan of Krishna. And he saw that so many people were lining up in Dwarka. And Krishna was giving away so much of charity. People were asking, Krishna, I want this, Krishna will give. Krishna, I want that, Krishna will give. Occasionally, Narada Muni saw, there were one or two persons whom Krishna would send into that room over there. You know? I don't think the room in Dwarka said, danger, please keep out. But it was a room. And in that room, some people were waiting for a long time. So Narada Muni goes up to Krishna and says, Krishna, I'm curious. Why is it that these people in the express lane, they are getting things very fast? Then some people are put in that waiting room for a long time. What are they asking? And Krishna said, all these people are asking all the things which are material by nature. So it's very easy for me to give them that, you know. And after a while, Maya will slap them, and then they will come to understand. But all of them who are waiting there, they ask me for one ingredient in life, which is very difficult to obtain. They actually ask me for myself. They wanted darshan of me. They wanted devotion to me. And the moment they asked me that, I became more selective and more careful. Because once I give myself, Nanda, I give myself 100%. So I have to be careful. And that is why they have to be put in the interview room. Because after that, I have a few rounds, you know, to test them. And when they are ready, then I give them what they desire. So this bhakti that we have been given by Srila Prabhupada is the most precious commodity in all the three worlds. Sometimes people ask, if it's so precious, it is readily available. It is. But how many of us are ready to take it? We are ready to take it when we have these three things. No material contamination. When we are originally situated in understanding what is the purpose for coming here in this congregation. And third, when we understand that only when we take darshan of Krishna can we become purified. This is what attracts Krishna's mercy. That is why in Bhagavad Gita it is stated very nicely. What is that verse? 264. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayanindriyaischaran atma vashay videyatma prasadam adigacchati. It's an important verse. And the qualification to obtain Krishna's mercy is given in that verse. Those who neither are averse to something nor attached to something, and who totally control their senses through the regulative principles of freedom, they can attract the complete mercy of the Lord. It is the only verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna guarantees giving His mercy. But the way to take it is to become like the devotees. We are neither attached to something, nor are we averse to something. We only take up the service if it pleases Krishna and the devotees. It's the only qualification. Devotional service should not become complicated. You remember Govinda. Govinda was the great associate and the personal servant of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu one day, after the great Ratiyatra and Kirtan in Srivas Thakur's house, he became very tired. And he decided to just lie down after prasadam, just by the entrance of the door. So Govinda came and said, "My dear Lord, after you have prasadam, it is my turn to massage your feet." Mahaprabhu was just lying down and Govinda had to cross him to go on the other side to massage his feet. And Mahaprabhu said, "Well, you can cross over and start your service." But Govinda knew in his heart that it is an offense to cross the lotus feet of the Lord, or for that matter anyone. It's not etiquette, because the body is the temple of the Lord and you cannot cross it that way. But then Govinda realized that now Mahaprabhu has to move his feet. So he said, "My Lord, please move so that I can start my service." And Mahaprabhu mysteriously replied, "Do as you wish." So Govinda was stuck. If he doesn't cross over and do the service, he's not doing what he's constitutionally required to do. But if he crosses over, that offense of crossing over the Lord means he will go to heaven. What does Govinda do? Govinda crosses over the Lord and he starts massaging his lotus feet. After a while, Mahaprabhu says, "I'm very tired now, let me sleep. You go and have prasadam. And after that, you take rest." After 45 minutes, Mahaprabhu wakes up. And he looks and he sees, hey, Govinda is sitting there silently chanting. So Mahaprabhu says, "Govinda, you were supposed to go and have prasadam. Why didn't you go?" And Govinda became silent. In his heart, he knew what the Lord wanted. But in his heart, he did not say anything. Mahaprabhu became very pleased with him. And Prabhupada writes in the purport of this incident that Govinda refused to cross over Mahaprabhu to have prasadam. Because if he did that, he was doing it to satisfy his senses. But he crossed over the first time because he was prepared to go to hell on account of not interrupting his service to the Lord. This is a slight shift. The episode is so simple. It's just crossing one time and crossing the other time. But it's the consciousness in which we perform an activity that makes or breaks our Krishna consciousness. This is how we attract the mercy of the Lord. For Govinda, crossing over, he was neither attached to, nor was he averse. But he only crossed over if it meant that he could serve Krishna. And he was not averse if it meant he could not serve Krishna. And that is why Govinda is considered such a great devotee of the Lord. When Kubja came before Krishna in Mathura, you remember Kubja? She was a hunchback. And she looked very ugly. Nobody wanted to talk to her. And she was serving Kamsa of all people. But when she saw the beautiful form of the Lord, the form of the Lord, she became so attracted that because of her devotion, immediately her heart was cleansed. Immediately she was situated in original Krishna consciousness. She approached Krishna and said, Krishna, can I do one service for you? Krishna said, what service can you do for me? She said, I want to apply sandalwood on you. Is it possible? Krishna said, all right. All this time you have been applying on Kamsa. If you want to apply on me, I'll be happy. So she applied lovingly sandalwood on the lotus hands and feet of Krishna. And Krishna became so pleased with a simple-minded devotion that immediately he used one of his foot and put his foot on her leg. And then he used his palm, you know, and he put it right at the chin. And suddenly with a transcendental crack, she became straight. And Bhagavatam tells us the moment she stood up very straight, oh, this very ugly looking hunchback, Kubja, suddenly became the most beautiful lady in Mathura. She became Miss Mathura. She's very beautiful. Nobody could stand in front of her. And then immediately she bowed before Krishna. And she said, Krishna, please come to my house of prasadam. And Krishna became so attracted, he said, yes, I will go. Now, in Krishna book, Prabhupada writes a very important point. He says, when Krishna became attracted by the invitation of Kubja to invite him for prasadam, he was not attracted to her newfound beauty. He was attracted by her service. This is real beauty. When we have a mood of service towards the deities, then the contamination in the heart goes. The original Krishna consciousness appears, and the purification, the disinfection is automatic. This is the greatness of darshan of the deities. So today, in a while, we are going to take darshan of these beautiful deities. We should never make darshan of the deities into a ritual. Something that we do very often has the tendency of becoming a ritual. The moment we degrade an activity of Krishna consciousness into a ritual, we lose the essence of purification. This is very important. We must take up the chanting of Krishna consciousness, the chanting of Krishna's names, the deity's service, as if it was the first day we walked into this temple. How did you all feel the first day you got into Krishna consciousness? Your hairs were standing on end. The kirtan would have touched your heart like anything. You were thinking this is the greatest movement of all times. And after 10 years, then we start thinking, yes, someone has come. He's become very enthusiastic. Let him wait for 10 years, then he'll know what is happening. And then we think that we are very senior. We think that, now we know what the movement is about. We have lost our innocence. That is what Chitraketu Maharaj did not lose. That is what Kubja did not lose. You see, the deities are alive. The deities are more alive than you and I. That's what we forget. They are actually alive. You and I are dead. But they are alive. If they are not alive, how is it that he showed Gopinath, that wonderful deity in Rimuna, how is it that he could steal one earthen pot of sweet rice? He could hide it. Transcendental cunning. Transcendental theft. He could hide it just so that Madhavendra Puri, his devotee, would be able to taste the sweet rice. If you go to Dwaraka Dham, there is a very famous devotee known as Ishwar Rai. There are pictures of him in Dwarakanath temple. Ishwar Rai was a devotee who from young age served Dwarakanath, the deity of Krishna, on the island of Dwarka, Dwarka Bay. But as he grew old, his legs gave way, his hands gave way, and he could not approach to do the deity service. So one day, he prayed to Krishna lying on his bed, too old to do anything. And as he prayed to Krishna, please give me the chance to serve you again, he went to sleep. And suddenly in his dream, he heard a loud knocking. When he opened his eyes, he realized, it's not a dream, somebody is knocking. He opens his ramshackle hut, and standing in front of him is Dwarkadish in all his glory. So Ishwarai says, Lord, you are supposed to be in Dwarka. What are you doing here? And Dwarkadish said, I've come to fetch you so that you can go back to the temple and do service for me. And Ishwarai said, my lord, if you stand here now and later the pujaris open the deity hall and they don't see you there, they will faint. So why are you here? And Dwarkadish said, that's why I'm telling you, don't waste time, come with me so that we can all take darshan together. And when he came out, he saw that Dwarkadish had brought a bullock cart. He carried Ishwarai because he was too old. He put him on the cart, and in the middle of the night, there's a very famous picture in Dwarka of Dwarkadish on the reins of the bullock cart, bringing his devotee behind and bringing him to the temple, installing himself as deity, and then allowing Ishwarai to perform deity worship. This is the greatness of Krishna. And what about that great, wonderful pastime of Sakshi Rupa? The two brahmanas, you know, younger and older, they were from Vidyanagar in the south, Godavari River. And they went for pilgrimage to Vrindavan. When they went to Vrindavan, they saw this beautiful deity of Gopal. And the younger brahmana was serving the other brahmana so nicely that the brahmana became so pleased with him. He said, because of you serving me so well, I was able to do this wonderful yatra. Now when we go back together, I promise you that I will give you my daughter in hand. The younger brahmana said, hold on, my dear sir. Giving your daughter to me is not the right thing to do. I'm not educated. I'm not up to your status. And if you go back, you have your sons and you have your wife. If you don't consult them and you anyhow make a decision now and you go back and you do not keep to your promise, then as a brahmana, your culture is lost. So please don't say no. The brahmana insisted, no, I promise you now in front of the deity that I will give you my daughter in hand because you are a great devotee. The brahmana said, if that is the case, my dear sir, then let us stand before the deity of Gopal and let us take that vow and let you be the person speaking in front of the deity. And the elder brahmana then spoke in front of the deity and said that this is my vow and you are my witness. So the younger brahmana said, Gopal, you are now the witness of what he has said. Gopala, if we go back and the elder brahmana somehow or another changes his mind or something, I have no choice but to call you as witness. And you have to come. With that in mind, the younger brahmana and elder brahmana, they left. They went home. And after going home, 1 week, 2 weeks pass. And after 1-2 weeks of passing, suddenly all of a sudden, one day, the elder brahmana became a bit worried. He thought, now, you know, actually, I was very, very happy at that point when I gave my daughter. But now I have to tell my wife. And if I tell my wife, I don't know, you know. So he turned to his wife. He called for a conference with his rest of the family. And he told them, now, I have taken a vow before Gopal to give my daughter in marriage to that old, that young brahmana, you know, who's from our village. Immediately the wife said, if you give this, my daughter, now in hand to him, I will take my life. You never consulted me. You know, normally men in the house, we tend to be the presidents. But the ladies, you know, they tend to be prime minister, finance minister, home affairs minister. And if you come from India, then you know prime minister has power and president has nothing. So like that, when wife started jumping, he started becoming morose. Then his son, you know, he was an atheist. So son said, this is nonsense. How can you give the daughter to someone who is so lowly in birth? He may be brahmana, but he's not qualified. So then the elderly brahmana said, I have given my promise before Gopala, and he's a devotee. That is the only qualification I want to see. So why should I not do it? And then, now the brahmana was becoming disturbed because he was elderly and under pressure. And the son said, very simple. When he comes now, when the young brahmana comes and asks for my sister's hand, all you have to do is say, I can't remember. You don't have to say that, no, you did not say that, I did not promise. Just say, I can't remember, and let me take over from there. So the brahmana prayed in his heart, Krishna, this is very bad. Please somehow or another, Gopal, save this situation. Next day, the younger brahmana comes and says, my dear elder brahmana, 2 weeks have passed, you remember your promise? I'm here. The moment he came there, his wife came out, the elder brahmana's wife, and the elder brahmana's brother came out. The brother took out a big stick and said, what are you doing here and who are you? So he said, as per the promise of your father, I've come to claim marriage with your sister. And he said, get out of this place. How dare you do this? And the Brahmana was forced to run away, otherwise he would have got beaten. He came back again this time and he called the entire village together. And he said, in front of Gopal, the deity in Vrindavan, the elder Brahmana promised the daughter in hand of marriage. What have you got to say? And the Brahmana thought, well, my wife is there, my son is there, better I just say what I'm supposed to say. And he said, I can't remember. And the moment he said, I can't remember, his son jumped on the bandwagon. He looked at all of them, just like we all sitting here. He said, do you know this rascal young Brahmana? He actually gave some alcoholic beverage to my father, made him intoxicated while on pilgrimage, and forced him to give my sister in hand to his marriage, because he wants to profit materially. He is no good, and therefore there is no such promise. The moment he said that, immediately the young Brahmana said, the entire promise was witnessed, and I can bring the witness here. Then the entire village said, oh, that's very simple, you have a witness. Tell us who the person is, we'll call him to come here. And the younger Brahmana said, very simple, the witness was Gopala. And everyone started laughing. They said, you mean the deity was the witness? He said, yes. And they said, and then the boy, the elder Brahmana's son, started laughing and said, yes, he will come now and give witness, I suppose. And everyone laughed. But the young Brahmana said, no, I promise you that I will go now to Vrindavan. I will call Gopala and he will come and give witness. So he said that. The moment he said that, the elder Brahmana said, yes, if the deity comes here and the deity confirms that this is what happened, I will give my daughter in hand. This was a chance for the elder Brahmana. Now, the boy, the atheist, his son, he thought to himself, these two people are really fools, number one. Where have you ever heard of deities walking from Vrindavan to Godavari River, which is so far away, bearing witness? Deities are made of stone, wood, metal. They have no value, and frankly speaking, they're not alive. So he thought in his heart, I should agree to this also. Because if I agree to this, definitely deity won't come, and my father will definitely not be able, or will not have to give away my sister in marriage. Prabhupada writes in the purport, do you know what just happened? Krishna as the super soul, as the deity, spoke in the heart of all three personalities. They all three had different ideas, but Krishna made them agree on the same point. The younger Brahmana had faith that Gopal will come. The older Brahmana was finding a way out to balance between the pressures of his wife and his son and keeping his promise. And the son was an atheist who thought that Krishna cannot walk. Let's agree to this preposterous solution. And Prabhupada writes, the super soul is so intelligent that he made all three personalities agree on one point. The moment they agreed, the young Brahmana left. He walked and walked and walked to Vrindavan. And that day, in the night, he came before the deity Gopal. And he said, my dear Gopala, I have come here because now, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, you have to walk with me back to my village to bear witness. And then he narrated the whole incident of what happened. Note, the Brahmana didn't just stand there and said, you must come. He spoke to Gopal just like we would speak to each other. That was the level of faith he had in the heart, that the deity is non-different from Krishna. Very important point for us. And the moment he did that with faith, Krishna as Gopala spoke. He said, my dear Brahmana, it's so nice that you've come back to see me. I understand your concern and you want me to bear witness. Very simple. You just go back and tell them that you spoke to me and tell them that I have confirmed it. And then everything will be all right. Now the young Brahmana said, nothing doing, Gopala. If I were to tell them now that Gopal confirmed it, they would say, you left Godavari River, you crossed over, hid yourself for 100 days and came back, and you are creating a story. Then he said, it's all right. Then just tell them, confirm. Tell them that I was here as the deity and I spoke to you. And now the younger Brahmana said, even if you came to my village in the four-handed form of Vishnu deity, still they will not believe. They will only believe if you came in the form that you are now, because you are the witness. Gopal witnessed it, not Vishnu. You witnessed it. Now Gopala, the deity, was saying, but I've never heard of a deity who walks. Can you imagine? The Lord tells his devotee, I've never heard of a deity who walks. And the young Brahmana said, well, you're talking to me. Have you heard of a deity who talks?
And then Gopala thought, yeah, actually it's true. I'm talking to you. Therefore, I should be able to walk with you. This is the greatness of faith that a devotee has in the Lord. And Gopala then became very happy, the deity, and said, all right, young Brahmana, since you want me to walk, I'll walk with you. But there are a few conditions. You walk ahead, I'll walk behind. I'll put ankle bells, and as I walk, you will hear my ankle bells. If you turn, I will stop. So don't turn until you reach the village. Otherwise, you have problems. And the other thing is very important. Since you're always in the temple, everyone is offering me prasadam. I can't be walking without prasadam, you know. So therefore, you just go and collect 100 kg. That's a lot of rice. Get as much rice as you can. And each day, offer me 10 kg of rice. 10 kg of rice. I'm just wondering whether we offer 10 kg of rice to our deities. But this is what Gopal deity wanted. So 10 kg of rice you must cook every day and you offer me. And that way we will walk together. So the Brahmana became very happy. And from Vrindavan Dham, they walked and walked and walked for 100 days, Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us. And every time they walked in the night, the Brahmana would stop, cook a good meal for Gopal deity. Gopal deity would take the meal, Brahmana would take whatever was the remnants, and they would walk again. And in that way, the deity of the Lord walked across an entire span of country. And when they came to the outskirts of the river and the town of Vidyanagar, then the Brahmana told himself, Krishna has walked enough. Now, if the whole village sees him, they will know he has come. So he turned around to take darshan of the Lord, and there Gopal stood, and he did not move. And he gave a beautiful smile to his devotee. And then he ran back and said, Gopala, the witness has come today. The whole town was in shock. Is it really true? Did he bring the deity? And they all came out. The elder Brahmana came out. And in his heart, there was no doubt, Chaitanya Charitamrita says. Because he knew that he was in trouble. And he knew Gopal, the deity, would save him from trouble. This is the mood we must have when we reciprocate with Krishna. We should know that Krishna is all in all for us. That in all difficulties, we don't have to turn to anything or anyone. Just be dependent on the Lord and the mercy coming through his devotees, and we will be protected. And so the elderly Brahmana fell at the lotus feet of Gopal. The younger Brahmana fell at the lotus feet of Gopal. The 80th son, who thought this will never happen, was defeated by Krishna as the super soul. See, no one can cheat Krishna. We may have so many ideas of how to cheat Krishna, but finally Krishna cheats us. This is something we should remember. And Krishna never cheats us for bad things. All of us got cheated, isn't it, at some point. Some devotee kindly tricked us to come to the temple. And very often we came because of the urgings of our stomach. We may not have come for anything else, but the moment the prasadam was in front of us, we were sold out. And then after we got sold out by the kirtan, and then the beautiful form of the deities. So we were all cheated, but this cheating is good. So the Brahmana then hugged each other, embraced each other, and the deity spoke to both of them in front of everyone. The deity spoke and said, you are both my eternal servants, and this is my eternal pastime, so that you both can eternally serve me. And the Gopal deity stayed for generations in Vidyanagar. But later on, King Purushottam Dev came, and when he conquered that area, as part of Orissa, Oriya, he then brought the deity back to Jagannath Puri. And then ultimately, the deity is where it is today. Now, King Purushottam Dev's wife, she had a beautiful pearl that she wanted to offer as a stone, you know, for the nose of the deity. When she came before Sakshi Gopal, because that's what he was known as, she prayed in her heart that, my dear Lord, I notice that you don't have a hole for me to give you a stone, you know. I want to put a stone as a stud, a nose stud. I have a beautiful pearl I want to offer to you, but you don't have a hole in your nose, so what to do? I mean, you can't drill it. The Lord is the Lord, he's transcendental. So she went to sleep. And in the dream, Sakshi Gopal came to her. And he said, my dear mother, when I was young, the son of Nanda Maharaj, known as Vrajendra Nandana, my dearest mother, Mother Yashoda, she made a beautiful pearl stone for my nose. And with great difficulty, because I was transcendently mischievous, she caught me somehow and she pierced my nose. And if you look closely tomorrow morning, you will see that hole and you can offer that pearl to me. And the next morning when the queen woke up, she rushed with Purushottam Dev to take darshan of Sakshi Gopal. And true enough, the deity had the hole. And she then gave that beautiful pearl that today also you can see if you go and take darshan of Sakshi Gopal. Jai Sakshi Gopal ki. So we come to the conclusion of this very important pastime and this important verse. And that is the point that the deity of Krishna is Krishna. Just how we should behave when Krishna is in front of us, in the same way today when we see the deities, that is how we should behave. If we have that mood that the younger Brahmana had, then the deity will speak to us in our hearts. The deity will guide us to the agency of devotional service. And the deity will speak to us. This is the faith we must have. But in order to qualify for that darshan, we must learn to depend on Krishna. We must learn to depend on Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has everything. There is no need for us to go anywhere else. Prabhupada gave us everything. There is no need for us to go anywhere else. Prabhupada was asked the question that after you leave Prabhupada, if we follow you, then can we all go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, definitely. But then everyone asked the question also, but we're all at different levels. What happens then? And Prabhupada gave a beautiful analogy. He said, there is a big ship that is approaching the shore. It's going to dock. In the ship, there are many people on the ship. Some people are in front of the ship. Some people are at the back of the ship. Some people are in the bathroom also. Some people are cleaning the ship. Some people are steering the ship. But Prabhupada said, the moment the ship docks into the harbor, it is understood that everyone in the ship, whether he's in the toilet or whether he's in front, it's understood that he has, everybody in the ship has arrived at the destination. Isn't it true? Think about it. You may be in the toilet when you arrive at the dock, but you qualify because you have the right now, because you were on that ship. And that is the ship of this movement. The Krishna conscious movement given by Srila Prabhupada. If we follow and if we just stay on this boat till the day we leave this body, and in between that time, we just serve the deities with love and devotion, then whatever material contamination that will come, it cannot touch us. It cannot touch us. But we have to depend on Krishna. There was a wife, you know, she was always cooking for her husband. One day she was cooking for her husband. Husband sat down to have prasadam. Then she asked him one question. Supposing there is a choppy ocean. I can't swim. I'm in the ocean. Your mother, that means her mother-in-law, she's also in the ocean. She can't swim. I can't swim. You are the only one there who can swim. We both call out to you, help us, help us. Who are you going to save? Are you going to save your mother or are you going to save me? By the way, that's a question no husband wants to hear. We will die if we hear that question. So she was very confident that the husband will say, of course, my dear, I will save you. You are the one cooking for me. I got married to you. My mother has not seen me for a long time. But the husband coolly replied, of course, I will save my mother first. And she became very upset. She said, why would you save your mother first? And he was very cool, still eating prasadam, which was prepared by her. He said, in this life I can have so many wives. I can only have one mother. And she became very upset. She went to sleep, whole night cannot sleep. Next morning she goes to her work. She meets her best friend and she says, I'm very upset with my husband. So the best friend says, why? She said, I gave him a choice between saving my mother-in-law or me in the ocean. And of all things, this man, you know, never thinks. He says he will save his mother first. And he said that I can be easily replaced. So she said, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And the friend was very simple. She said, my dear friend, it's very simple. If I was in the ocean and my mother-in-law was in the ocean and the husband was going to save me, the solution would have been very simple. Just learn to swim. If you learn to swim, the question will never arise. Let him save his mother. You will still be alive. It doesn't matter that you have to depend on him to save you. And this is our situation in the material world. We depend on everyone and anyone except Krishna. And we don't realize everyone and everything that we depend on They themselves cannot depend on themselves. They themselves are struggling in this material world. We try to drag them, we become dragged. But if we depend on the beautiful form of their lordships, the way Chitraketu Maharaj did, if we depend on our service to the lordships and our service to the devotees, then that transcendental knowledge will save us in this difficult ocean of birth and death. That is how we should live Krishna consciousness. So we end by remembering a beautiful verse on the description of Krishna. This is a verse that Prabhupada liked very much. It appears in Lilamrita. It also was chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila. And it appears in the Nectar of Devotion originally. Rupa Goswami sings this verse. Smeram Bhangitraya Parichita Sachi Vishtirna Drishti Vamsi Nyasta Udara Kilashaya Ujvala Chandrakeya Govindam Akyam Hari Tanumitaha Keshi Tirta Upakante Ma Prakshitas Tavayadi Sake Bandhu Sange Astiranga. Let us meditate on this verse before we take darshan of the lordships. The verse reads very beautifully. Rupa Goswami, by the way, is the first proponent of reverse psychology. Have you all heard of reverse psychology? You have, right? It's like, you know, you tell your child, you want your child to come to temple, so you tell him, don't come to temple today. The day you tell someone, don't come, that's the day they want to come, isn't it? The day you tell them, come, 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 that's the day they don't want to come. We are like that, you know? That's how we live in this world. If you tell them there's nothing nice here, then they will come. If you tell them everything is very nice, they don't come. So Rupa Goswami is now telling us here. He says, my dear friend, if you want to continue to be attached to family, friends, society, and love, if you want to be attached to these four, then please do one thing. Please do not look at this boy who stands in a tree-bended form, holding a beautiful flute, blossoming on his lotus lips. He stands on the shores of the Kesi Ghat, and there, by the moonlight, he looks very beautiful. He gives you a sight-long glance, and he's tree-bended, and he's standing on the shores of Kesi Ghat, and he's looking very beautiful because his lips are touching the flute. This boy has a name, and his name is known as Govinda. If you see him, then you will lose all taste for friendship, society, friends, family, and all material. So therefore, my dear friend, please don't look at this boy. He doesn't use the word na prakshita. Na in Sanskrit means no. But he used the word ma. Ma in Sanskrit means no, no, no. Three times. So he's insisting. Rupa Goswami, the father of devotional service, is insisting, don't look at Krishna. Because the moment you see Krishna, then whatever greatness that you thought was available in this material world, it will just leave us. Jai Dhritarashtra Srila Bhagavata ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Kodi Vaishnavinda ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Are there any questions? Any comments? Any violent objections? Vidyanidhi Prabhu? I have done my part.
You can do some bit of Kirtan, we can do offerings.
You can do offerings. So when do I announce the name, Prabhu? You have to tell me that.
Maybe open the altar.
Alright. Alright. So shall we do some Kirtan now? Shall we chant the holy names of the Lord? If I can have that harmonium here, I'm sorry. Paripunda Prabhu, can you help me?
Thank you.
Thank you.